Welcome to Between Two Racks with Mike and Sean.
A show all about hunting, fishing, trapping, the outdoors, and everything in between.
At this time, we would like to give a shout out to our sponsors, Big Country Outfitters,
Antler Springs, Skulls and Mounts,
and Mike Jones Knife and Tool. All these links can be found on our website,
between2racks.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to Between Two Racks, Mike and Sean.
How you doing tonight, Mike?
Good, 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 good.
Yeah?
Yeah, long time no see.
Yeah, we had a pretty fun morning.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. It was, it got real exciting real fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We went out, looked for a load of firewood and come home with a nice little whitetail buck.
Yeah, it was a very well done, very well done little push the bush type thing, only it didn't work out exactly the way I was kind of hoping anyway.
It worked out good
but
for
it
me.
It worked out really good for you. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So what happened here is we found some tracks going into a little island of trees. And how big a spot you figure that was? Maybe 20 acres?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't anyways, very big. They hadn't come out the other side. So I said, no, I'll go through the middle and you walk down the road and maybe I'll push them out.
And typically a drive like that would work exactly that way.
That was the plan.
You make enough noise going through the trees and you've got somebody kind of with and where I was set up was, I guess to my right, it was down a roadway, of course. And we'd seen that they hadn't crossed that.
Yep.
So to my right, I think I ranged, it was 220 yards and to my left was another 200 and change. I mean, yep. It was a perfect spot.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So just kind of cruising along through the bush there and seeing some deer run across in front of me and kind of followed them a little bit and they come back and that just happened to be a little buck there chasing a doe. So I gave him one.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I was standing there and I thought, man, the wind isn't good. This isn't good. Boom. Yeah. No, the wind wasn't good. Yeah.
Well, it happened really fast, you know. And
oh, it's super cool. It's so awesome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It really changed the, it really changed the climate of the morning. It went from, you know, kind of being a slave driving, wood cutting type of a morning to a hunting, fun, smiling.
Oh, it was great
time.
Yeah.
Great time. Yeah.
So. And, you know, it wasn't a big buck, but it was sure a hell of a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, when you know, it was just off the cuff, you know, let's make a play here. And when you plan a play like that and it works out so well, it was great.
Yeah.
Super good.
No, it was awesome. So a little more meat in the freezer and good eats. I love them whitetail.
Really good. Really good eating. So. Absolutely.
Yeah. What else we got on the menu tonight?
Well, one of the things we should quickly, give a shout out. This is only our second show back from the fall hunts. So we got probably a little bit to touch on when it comes to the fall. Lots of hunts that happened this fall. But we do want to quickly talk about Monster Camo.
Yes.
Okay. So we've come online here with Monster Camo. They've been very generous to us. You know, we've agreed to take some of their gear and give it a shot, see what we think. As guides and outfitters, we spend a lot of time in the backcountry, and it's not so much about the camo pattern, I guess. It's you know, we know that just wearing clothes that break up your form is important. But in this case, I think it's more about the technology behind it, you know, and what it'll do for you as far as, you know, wicking away moisture and, but still keeping in heat. And so it seems to do all of that and more. I've been really happy with it. I've been super impressed. So basically we put it through, you know, what most guys would take 5 years to put this gear through. We you know, we'll do it in a year easy. So,
very durable.
Yeah, extremely durable and relatively quiet. The jacket that I had was more of a, you know, kind of a rain type jacket. I actually never did rain through it, even in the really shitty weather. It was it really held out well. It was pretty quiet. It was surprisingly quiet. There's a lot of other gear out there that isn't near as quiet. But it was quiet. And the other thing that I like is the zippers. the zippers are, you know, not crazy loud at all. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like a little tiny thing, but when you're standing, you know, when you're standing next to a client and he's wearing another, whatever it might be, another high-end kind of outdoor gear, and you let out a beller looking for a cow, or, you know, a cow out call or whatever, and all you can hear beside you is rustle, 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 zip, 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 rustle, rustle, rustle. You know, it's kind of annoying. So I'm a little bit sensitive when it comes to some of the outdoor gear, and I'm definitely, you know, a bit jaded with a lot of it, but in this case here, Monster Camo really did really well. So if you get a chance and you're listening to this, you know, go online, monstercamo.com, take a look, see what they got. They're really good at shipping stuff here. I think they're based out of Utah, if I'm right. And, they'll ship stuff here to Canada, obviously all across the US for anybody listening there. And they kind of get two thumbs up from my direction anyway.
I was just looking there. I was just looking, and shit, you're pushing just about 70 days in the field.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Consecutive days, yeah. Right?
Just pounding away at it, yeah. and some of the brush and crap that we go through, and just hooking your legs on snags. And, you know, one of the things that actually, and it sounds stupid and goofy, but when the temperature got really cold, and I was wearing the jacket, when I would, you know, split the moose up through the brisket, those jagged kind of, you know, bony areas that you end up reaching through, on a lot of other material, you'll snag it and destroy it. Yep. And actually, as my arms were kind of going in and out, you know, and typically you're kind of in a hurry. It's either, you know, last light or colder than hell. And so you're moving relatively quick, and you're not really, you know, don't really care if you start snagging things. And there's not even a mark on this stuff, mm-hmm. You know. So my pants show a little bit of wear, but I mean, that's going through the country that we hunt further north from here is just brushy, and I mean, it can be thorny and devil clubs and blow down and all that kind of shit that you got to go through. So I think it did really well. Yeah. I'm really pleased. I'm excited to hopefully continue the working relationship that we have with them and see what else they got.
Right on, right on.
So, yeah, big shout out, Monster Camo. Thanks, guys. And we'll continue our efforts with you.
Cool. Well, we got a little bit of hunting news.
Okay.
So we got a Cache Creek man charged with trafficking bear parts.
Oh, boy. So convicted. This is something that's kind of all over the internet. And yeah. We're going to talk a little bit more about the internet and its effects on hunting. And this is some of the news that's floating around right now.
Absolutely. So $18,000 he was fined for purchasing bear paws and gallbladders.
So, you know, I read a little bit on this, not a lot, just a little bit. And I did see where somebody was talking a little bit about the bear population here in British Columbia and that this could have an effect on it. And I agree that if it becomes if this becomes something that is the norm, then maybe we're going to, but otherwise when things like that are kind of reported on and you see that sort of stuff written, you know, it doesn't do us any favors.
Exactly. You know, there's nothing wrong with our bear population. We've got lots of bears, but it's still the fact that this is illegal.
Absolutely.
It's wrong.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. I mean, it's, if he needed to be spanked, he was spanked. And hopefully hopefully that was enough.
18,000 dimes he got spanked
there. Yeah, so. that's a bit of spanking, all right.
I can't pronounce his name, so.
Yeah, we're not even going to try. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But it does sound Asian. So, but yeah, I think that, you know, when the only thing that bothered me about that, I was thrilled about the entire, you know, the entire thing, and anything illegal that way needs to be nipped in the bud. I just, when I read the bottom of the report and it said, you know, this could have a negative impact on bear populations within British Columbia, or that was a concern. I think if this was kind of the norm, and there was a time when that was the case, I think there was a little bit more black market stuff.
Yeah.
I don't believe anyway that it's quite as prevalent today.
No,
so.
I haven't. I'm out of the loop on it. I don't know.
I don't know either. I think we would, you know what, with the way the internet is, which is, you know, a little bit of a focal point tonight, you know, with the way the internet is, I think we would, mm-hmm. if it was the case, we would at least read something on it. Mm-hmm. So, Anything else? This is, of course, the news with Sean. It's fabulous. It's a segment that we have to continue with.
And I'll try to do better and do more research on more
cool
hunting news.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Good. So anyways, as we had kind of mentioned before, one of the topics we're just going to quickly talk about is this time of year, we definitely see an increase in everything from hunting photos or, reports or articles or whatever, whether it's hunting related, obviously a little bit less fishing related, but it seems like right now, for me anyway, if I look at Facebook, there's a lot of posts as far as it goes to hunting, and with that, we've got some negative consequences that, as far as it goes to people and their viewing of hunting and what we do out there.
Well, what's going on with Trump and the elephants? Have you been following that?
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny because a little bit, I was kind of asked to comment a little bit. I had somebody reach out and kind of wanted my take on this elephant situation. It's difficult for me to have, I don't really know that much about it. I don't necessarily know a lot about elephant populations. That was an elephant in the background there.
Beer makes my nose run. Oh.
So it's hard for me to comment as far as it goes to the elephants and their situation. My view on all hunting is it's definitely one of our most important management tools, whether you hunt or don't hunt. It's a really good tool. So depending on the elephant situations, I think it's very, very difficult for me to comment on. The big thing that I wanted to kind of throw out there is, to the best of my knowledge, it's not as though old Trump there made it now legal to kill those elephants. Like, this was something that was always there. It was just simply the
export.
The export import of I guess ivory or skins or whatever. So yeah.
Legally hunted.
Yes, legally hunted. That's right. They just weren't allowing them back. But as far as I know, these countries, they were. You could still hunt them there.
Hey, you know what? Time and time again, you see animals, species brought back because of hunters. Once you put a price tag on them, then they're
valuable.
Valuable. Yeah. To the locals or whatever, right?
To anybody really involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. But I, there was a fellow that I've got a lot of respect for, and we kind of talked back and forth a little bit on it, and I'm certain that conversation is still on Facebook somewhere, and he was pretty passionate. He was more passionate than I realized. He was really upset, and it went from being an intelligent argument, in my opinion, to an emotional argument, and then I seen him posting, pictures of a hunter with an elephant. Looked like the picture was back in, maybe the 70s or something. And, he hashtag, little dick, big hunter or whatever it was. And dude, like, really had to go there. So, it's difficult for me to even comment on it. But as far as I know, where they're hunting these elephants, numbers are obviously not an issue. And in many cases, these elephants are probably going to need managed. And there's a lot of money, look at what happened with, what was it? The black rhino there, wasn't it? That was, I think it was, it was a stupid amount of money that was, paid to hunt this animal. That was, it was actually the people that are bringing these rhinos back from extinction, and increasing their numbers. And they had this ancient old bull. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, look, this would bring a ton of money towards what we're doing. This guy's going to die anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think somebody would be crazy enough to, show up here? And of course that happened. And it wasn't that the hunter, in my opinion, was crazy or bloodlust or anything that way. I think he's seen it as I have the resources to purchase this hunt.
That nobody has,
and send some money this direction. Sure, it's a very unique opportunity. I know he got a ton of hate from that, like a ton of people shit on him. But the thing was, this animal was, you know, the people that were raising him, basically mm-hmm. raising this, like bringing, he was part of a herd basically. And they knew his age, they knew his health, they knew everything about him. And it was, you know, they were part of this process. Mm-hmm. And it turned out great. I mean, that money all went back towards those rhinos. I mean, it's a great thing. And you know what? People can bitch about death by a bullet, but nine times out of 10, it is a lot nicer than getting your guts tore out by wolves or hyenas or whatever the fuck's going to pull you down. Right?
Starved to death.
That's right. Yes. Like so.
Wasn't there another one that was killing, like a rhino that was killing other rhinos?
I remember something. That was a while back, though, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I don't know that it was a black one, but I do remember something about that.
Yeah. Killed more rhinos than a hunter, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. The people are just uneducated.
Well, it's that emotional. Like I said, the fellow that I had a little bit of the back and forth with, I truly respect this guy. And we talk back and forth, and a lot of times it will be on some different wildlife issues. He will contact me, and we talked about the grizzly bear situation. He's obviously very, very passionate about elephants. I don't, you know, maybe it's because they look cute or something. I don't know. But I was super surprised. That he was willing to go that much on the attack. I think it was just an excuse more than anything, because, you know, he's not a big, you know, Trump guy. And he doesn't live in the U.S. He lives here in, you know, I think down in Vancouver or something. And really good dude, you know. And I like talking back and forth. And we don't share the same views. And that's great. I've got no problem with that at all. But I was a little bit kind of surprised when it came to the direction that he took. And mm-hmm. it was definitely an emotional one. So as far as it goes to education or intelligent, you know, discussion or anything, you got to throw that out the window. Mm-hmm. Like it becomes an emotional trigger is what it is. Mm-hmm. So, and that said, I got to admit, when it comes to the internet now, I mean, there's been good and there's been bad.
Oh yeah.
And this time of year, I think more than any, you know, just because I guess it could be that I see a little bit more of it, because a lot of people that are going to be on my page for the most part are probably going to be somewhat hunting related. Did you get a message? Did you win?
No, I don't know why that made noise.
Well, because it's a phone. Anyway, so he's just checking his messages quickly there. This was really important, folks.
Somebody had a deer cape they wanted to sell me.
Ah, I see. Right. Right. Well, that's important.
Yeah.
I see this time of year anyway, I think I see more dead animals and grip and grins than obviously any other time of year. But I also notice, obviously the hate. Mm-hmm. I mean, the hate is just even firm.
And cruel fucking stuff.
Pretty rough.
Like,
pretty rough
some
shit.
Some of the shit these people say, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Yeah. You know? It's pretty rough.
But of course, people talk real big when they're, you know.
Behind a computer screen in their mom's basement.
But man, just horrible stuff.
Yeah. No, I've been told that I was going to die of face cancer, and my family was going to die in a car crash, and hope they do, and hope mm-hmm. these animals tear you apart. And
oh yeah, I've been, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you deal with, you deal with the haters, and they're definitely more sensitive to some animals than others. Mm-hmm. That's what I found anyway. Mm-hmm. But that said, I do have to say that, as hunters, I think we're somewhat responsible for some of this, because there are people like my buddy there. He is super sensitive mm-hmm. to some of these grip and grins. He's when he sees them, obviously there's going to be times where some of them give him a little bit less of an emotional, you know, knee-jerk reaction, but there is times where some of these pictures that you see floating around
some of them, it's like, come on, people, just stop and think about this for a minute. Is that really appropriate?
Yes.
You know, yes. You just chopped that bear's head off and you got freaking blood running down your arms and you're holding it up like you're freaking psycho Viking or something.
Yes.
You know?
It's
just giving the antis fuel to use against us.
And, you know, people will argue and they'll say that, you know, it's a right or what.
Yeah. It's just, come on.
I agree. Use your head. There's no need for it. In fact, I personally don't like it. Yeah. You know, I've got a lot of guys that will come up and however it is, the animal drops a lot of times, you know, right straight on its legs and not necessarily very photogenic. Mm-hmm. They'll want to get a picture of that, and that's fine. I'm good with that, you know, because it's a memory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a memory of that moment as I walked up, and that's fine. But as far as it goes to typically the pictures that you'll see have anything to do with, you know, we obviously, you know, we do our best to do the best we can by the animal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you owe it to the animal to take a tasteful picture.
Yeah, I think that's pretty basic. It's pretty basic. So, and it's not even, I mean, we got some simple shit, guys. You know, we got some simple stuff. Let's do away with some of the blood, right?
Let's poke the tongue back in its goddamn mouth, that's for Christ's sake.
Put the tongue back in the mouth, clean up some of the damn blood.
You know, roll the gut pile out of the picture.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, even just something like a gut pile, it's just not pretty.
Yeah.
It's not pretty.
It takes a minute to prop it up, like, you know.
Yeah. And you can take those pictures. And you know what? If that's, you know, if that's your deal and you know, right now I know there's people out there right now and what there's, you know, even some of the hunters out there going, these guys are full of shit. Yeah. You know, fuck that. This is our animal. No, you're right. You're right. It's your animal and thank God it's, you know, doesn't have an opinion about the situation. But, you know, when we look at our hunting, I mean it's a privilege. You know, it's a privilege to be out there. It's a privilege to have these animals and it has to be treated as such. And, you know, so to just be literally loading the bullets that the antis can shoot back at us, why the fuck would you want any part of that? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Take all the pictures you want, but when you're going to put it on think about it a little bit.
What it's going to do and the people that are going to be out there and see it. And a lot of these pictures somehow, and I don't know how it happens. I mean, for example, my buddy there, we're obviously Facebook friends, you know, and maybe even something to do with, you know, with Instagram, you know, all of that. So when I post something, some of the things that I post are going to obviously show up in front of him. And I'm not sure if he spends the time to go out and, you know, search other hunting or whether or not he just follows, you know, maybe pages that are completely anti-hunting. And they, of course, would search for the worst of the worst because it's, you know, kind of how you gain some momentum. But regardless, you know, just me even knowing. Now, when it's no work. It's not like it's more work. I have some basic kind of rules that I have in place on when I take these pictures and how I do it. I want to be tasteful. I want to be tasteful with this animal and tasteful with the tasty animal. And so that's what I want to do. And, you know, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to go, oh, God, you know, well, you know, what if this guy sees it? You know, like regardless, I realize, and we talked about that, you know, he kind of mentioned to me that some of these things have to disappear. That's his feeling. And this is an intelligent dude. Like he's a smart dude and, he's, you know, well-spoken. He writes, he writes for some of the magazines and some internet stuff. But you know, in his opinion, he doesn't want to see these things on the internet. Like he said, Mike, it's got to stop. And it doesn't have to stop, you know, but definitely the idiots out there. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of those. And I think that this is an opportunity. It's for the hunting community to, you know, to actually unify a little bit and say some of this bad shit out there. I mean, was it last week? We had those young guys down there on the island. Was it on the island shooting that little blacktail? Do you remember? Did you guys see that? Oh, you should look that up. It's a pretty interesting thing. I think it's Campbell River. Can you maybe Google Campbell River deer Snapchat, something like that? So basically, there's a couple of things that and this for on my feed went crazy. Like it went crazy because I guess I have some people on there that. And so I guess what happened, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert, but they shot, you know, in a suburban area. And they probably lung shot or something, but I used a 22. So, I disabled the deer. I mean, he was alive. And, so at one point you see one of the young guys, he approaches the deer and he drags it to the back of their house. And then in behind the house, they cut his throat, which many, people argue, well, the blood would have drained from his brain quick enough that he wasn't, he didn't know what was going on. The bottom line is anybody watching, the footage,
yeah.
I mean, it's not nice, right? It's not nice. So, I mean, I think these two young brats got spanked as far as it went to shooting a firearm in and around.
RCMP say they have identified those involved and are working with conservation.
So, quick update that the RCMP are involved and they are working with conservation to take a look at this, because definitely, I mean, you can clearly see they shot in a, in and around houses. But beyond all that, so let's just pretend that they were out on some logging block and these young guys that didn't necessarily know any better, went out there and made a less than perfect shot. And then decided, hey, well, let's go and, let's go and cut this thing's throat and let's film the whole thing. And then, and here's even a better idea. Let's show our faces and let's throw it up on Snapchat and shit. Let's see what happens.
That's, it's not like I've never had to cut the throat on a animal that's,
That was your finishing off.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you don't put it on Facebook.
No, I mean, it's just, we should make it real clear that not everything, we obviously strive for perfection while we're out there and one shot, one kill, and that's what we work with. Just like what you did this morning, it was beautiful.
Oh, I've had to.
It was perfect.
I've had to kill plenty of animals on the side of the highway with.
Yes. Whatever you had with you.
Axe or
and
whatever. Anyways,
make
but
it
that's,
as quick, make it as, yeah, but you're not out there filming yourself.
No. It's frustrating.
It is because what it does is it really, it really sets back what we do. I mean, it just.
But, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Then again, I like to post pictures of the wolves I catch, and that is.
Well, you can become public enemy number one with that. All right. Yeah.
I don't do I just pictures of my wolves and stuff, but nothing gross or.
No, and I think that that's, I think that as hunters, we just need to kind of keep that in mind. So, if you're out there and you're real excited, and you got your first deer or you shot your first moose or whatever it is, just show a little respect and show a little respect for the animal and for yourself and for the industry and for what we're all about.
And why do we take pictures? For memories, right?
Right.
So you want to fucking make a nice picture, you know, when you flip through your photo album, you know.
That's us.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about personally, I personally like to remember that animal in its finest form, and that's what I like as well. Mm-hmm. And the people that were there and the time of year it was and whether it was snowing or raining or whatever. Mm-hmm. People talk about, again, we can go back to the whole trophy hunting bullshit, like this whole fucking thing about throwing a word in front of hunting and changing it. Like mm-hmm. I'm a meat hunter. Oh, I'm a trophy. It's all fucking bullshit. So, you can still, put that 4-point rack up on your wall somewhere. Mm-hmm. And for me anyway, when I look at that, it definitely means something, but it is a different thing. Like when you walk up my stairs in my house from the basement up and you get to that last stair, I mean, you're looking at a quite large picture with myself and a big bear and my two kids. Mm-hmm. And so when I see that picture the bear looked great. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anything, it looks almost dangerous. Like, oh my God, what is that? What are the kids near the bear for? You know, and so that picture, it instantly brings me back to that exact moment. Way different than looking at a bear hide or a bear rug or whatever. You can kind of be lost in what that means. But when you look at that picture, when you see that picture, mm-hmm. you remember everything. Mm-hmm. I remember my daughter that many years ago. She was so young. And at the time, Carrie Underwood was singing that, what was that song about, I dug my key into the side of his pretty little, do you remember that? You remember that? So yeah. Okay. So here's the deal. I'm going to kind of backtrack. So this, when you look at these pictures, it's like a time machine, right? So it brings you back in time to that very moment. So in this case here, I was going to go out and wanted to take a look for a bear and, you know, it was a spring hunt and I was getting ready one morning and I think it was like a Saturday or something. And, as I'm getting ready, my son comes down the stairs. He's just a little fart, like just a little toehead. And so he comes downstairs and he's either bright orange or camo right from head to toe. And I'm like, well, what are you doing, buddy? And it was pretty, you know, fairly early. He's like, well, I'm coming with you. So, oh, okay. Well, then let's leave a note for mom. So anyway, we left a note for mom and out we went for the day and we had a great time. I mean, it was just magic. And, you know, we didn't end up seeing a bear, but we seen all kinds of other things. You know, just a little fart. I set up the spotting scope and, you know, we got to see some deer. Excuse me, I'm burping. Got to see some deer and just have a great time. Spent the day out there with dad. And when I got back, and my daughter, I think, was in kindergarten, maybe. Something like that. Maybe grade one. And, you know, my wife said, like, she's really upset. And I said, but what? And she said that, you know, you didn't bring her. And so I said, well, I didn't even plan on bringing it. He showed up. And I'm not going to say no. So anyway, I had to, you know, go upstairs and talk to her and say, okay, look, here's the deal. So we're going to do this again tomorrow morning. But I'm not going to get you up. Okay? I'm not going to get you up. You need to come and be ready. Just like Brock was, you need to be ready. So sure enough, whatever time in the morning she comes down and she's almost in pink from head to toe, like just everything pink, even this pink fuzzy fake fur jacket that she had, it was great. And so, you know, knowing that you've got, you know, knowing that you've got your kids with you, it makes things a little bit, you know, difficult. You know, you realize that there's certain setups that are going to work and there's plenty of setups that aren't going to work. And, mm-hmm. And knowing that I was bear hunting, you know, that was another that added to it as well. I mean, these are dangerous animals, you know, and a wounded bear is, you know, every bit as mean as a friggin' lion, right? So, you know, everything had to be perfect. Well, as soon as I get her out there, we're seeing bears. I just couldn't believe it. Like, there's, and you know, they weren't necessarily big ones, but you know, maybe 3-year-olds or whatever walking down the edge of the logging road. And I mean, perfect, like perfect. I'm talking 60 yard shots or whatever. You know, and I just, you know, didn't do it. And she was getting a little bit frustrated. And, so anyway, I kind of turned everything down. I had a reason for everything. No, that's not the right one. No, that's not the right one. And so we had gone all day and she got real bored. So we, you know, we had the radio on and she, it was Carrie Underwood's song that came on and she's just singing her guts out, just singing away. I'll never forget that. And, it was so cute. You know, she definitely knew the chorus. And she knew some of it because I think it was something about cheap perfume or some shit like that. Anyway, so she knew some of it. And as she's singing, I glanced over to the left and out in this cut block, I seen this bear. And I mean, he was a bear. He was a real good one. And so anyway, my daughter's nickname is Killer. You know, anybody that knows her would know her as Killer. So I said, Killer. I said, that's a hell of a bear. She said, well, go get him. I said, okay. I said, so here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do. You've got to stay in the truck, okay? So you got to stay in the truck, and Dad's gonna stay in, you know, your eyesight. You know, I'm never gonna leave your eyesight, and you know, I'll see if I can make this happen. So I kind of put a stalk on him. I seen the direction he was moving, and of course my movements were limited. You know, I couldn't just, you know, take off on her. So I kept looking over my shoulder. Well, she's seen this bear come around from the backside. You know, like he didn't mean to, he wasn't trying to put the stalk on me or anything, but he had just shifted his direction. So she sees this shit and I'm just like, you know, hey, where's Mr. Bear? And, I glance over my shoulder and holy shit, like he's up in behind me. And so, I mean, it was safe enough. But when you're, you know, kindergarten, you know, can look a bit scary. And that was never my intention. He was traveling down this old logging road and just, you know, nibbling away. And I thought, oh, it's perfect, perfect. So anyway, I come around and hit him real good, hit him hard. And he kind of went for this ravine. He was hit hard, but I decided I still wanted to put another one in him if I could. And just as he broke over, I hit him again. And I knew that again was solid. And so I went back to the truck. I said, okay. I said, Dad, got him. I got him, but I got to make sure. Like, I got to make sure. So you just sit here, and you'll still be able to see me. I won't be that far away. I'll look right back at you. And she said, okay, okay. You know, she was pretty excited, you know. And okay. So Dad makes his way to this ravine. And just as he's about to break over, I hear, I'm like, oh, shit, shit. Like, oh, that's the last thing she needs to see. So I kind of backed off. Well, it wasn't a growl. It was the end of everything, right? Mm-hmm. But it can sound like a growl, right? And so I eased over and peeked down this little bit of a ravine and he was piled up. He didn't even make a move. So it was cool. Everything was good. And she was literally right over my shoulder. I could look right back at her, kind of thumbs up. Okay, this really worked out well. And everything was safe. And so anyway, I get in there and she's like a statue. Like she's, you know, not real excited, but not outwardly upset and everything's cool. And I'm like, this is great. Okay, so we're gonna go get Mom and Brock, and we're gonna come back here. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be a fun time. And so we drive, and we got a little ways to go to get home. And I get there, I'm excited, right? I'm excited. She runs into Mom, and she melts down because she was certain that Dad was gonna get eaten. And I mean, of course, you're a kid. It's what you see. It was not the way it was. I mean, it was obviously her perception. But I'm like, no, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. No. Dad was a long ways away. You know, not in her mind. But everything was safe. It's as safe as you can get bear hunting. And there's probably a lot of people out there right now going, oh my God, that fucking monster. You know, he took a child out there I'll reassure everybody out there in internet land and podcast land that everything was safe. You know, I would never allow for anything to go wrong. And it was a great time and it was a fun hunt. And, you know, once we went there as a family and we were able to get that bear and bring him back and everything was super cool. And when I look at that and my daughter, actually, it was a great opportunity for me to talk to her and we got it all figured out. We actually took a look at exactly where he was and she thought, wow, really? He was that far? I said, yeah, no, he was a ways away. He was a large bear, so it probably was a bit more surprising, but it was, yeah. Once she got to kind of see it on the ground level, okay, this is where Dad was, remember? Yeah. Okay, this is way, way, way over here. This is where the bear was. And she said, really? I said, yeah, no, it was that far away. You know, but when I look at that picture, it just brings back everything. So I guess getting back to what we had talked about, the importance of pictures and how we take them and why we take them. But I think that, you know, as hunters, I think we owe it to the privilege that we have to be out there in those wild places with those wild animals, that when we do get an opportunity and we are either really, really good at what we do or really, really lucky or a little bit of both, you know, that we, you know, do the best we can by that animal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, yeah, I just frustrates the hell out of me sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I mean it's that, but
we're our own worst enemies sometimes.
Absolutely, and, you know. Absolutely, and then there's good there too. I mean, let's face it, there can be, you know, for the real shitheads out there that do some really, really shitty things out there. And I'm talking about you hunters. I'm talking about the ones that go out and do the stupid ass shit, and then, you know, post it, right? Like throw it up there and just, they just want to do it as a big fuck you to the aunties. Look what I get to do. Yeah. And it hurts us. It
hurts everybody.
Yeah. It does. It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, we're not saying that you got to go out there and, you know, be some type of a, you know, forensic cleaner, you know, and go in there and clean up everything. And, you know, it's not really about that. It's just maybe think about it a little bit. you know, and think about what you're going to stick out there before you stick it out there.
Yep. Yep. You got.
I'm just going to throw you under the bus. I'm going to end some shit and just see what you got to say.
No, I was thinking about my own little story with my little girl.
All right.
Here when we got that moose here a few weeks ago. We'd got the moose down to the truck, and I backed the truck down into the ditch and was going to slide him off the bank into the back of the truck, right?
Yeah. So both your kids were
there, yeah. And Amy had forgotten something up at the kill site, right? So she went back up to grab it, and my boy went with her, right?
Yeah.
And so I had my little girl, and I was loading this moose, and I was like, can you get up here and help me, you know?
Yeah.
Right? She's only little half pint, right?
Yeah.
You know? And I says, you got to push on his bum when I pull on him, right? So I didn't really need help, but she really thought she was helping Dad out, you know? We loaded this moose, and oh, it was the cutest little thing, right?
That is great.
Yeah. So I just, listening to your story, kind of, I was thinking about that.
Exactly. And yeah. And you guys took some great pictures.
I got another neat story, too, with the kids. Amy had a surgery. Yeah. So it was November, and basically, if I wanted to go hunting, I had to take kids with me, right? So we were hunting. We, you know. Huh? Yeah, they were quite little. So we were truck bound, you know, like, you know, couldn't. Yeah. So we hunted all morning, and there's one more road I wanted to check out, right? So we were driving down the road, and the kids were fighting in the back seat, right? So I was turned around, you know, giving them shit.
Yeah.
Trying to
splitting her up.
Yeah. And I look back down the road, and there's a 4-point buck bouncing down the road away from me, right? So. But anyways, everything came together and we got him. That's that one above you there. But it was kind of funny because I was turned around fighting with the kids in the back seat.
Splitting them up.
Yeah. Yeah. And this deer's bouncing down the road. So anyways. 2 and 5. Yeah.
They were pretty young.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And it's, you know, for those of us that we're not brand new to this, you know, we're not, it doesn't mean we're, you know, completely 1,000% prepared for absolutely everything that might happen. No, you know, there could be an earthquake partway through it. And, you know, but for the most part, we're hunting is something that we've done pretty much our entire life. We're good at what we do, and we're relaxed enough and that we can, you know, if we got our little ones with us, it changes things,
mm-hmm.
You know, we definitely understand that, like you were saying, you're kind of truck bound, you know, you don't go out on any great big long treks, but at the same time, you know, safety is our number one. Mm-hmm. And, so our kids that get to come out with us when they're young, I mean, these are memories that are definitely going to stay etched in their minds forever, but we keep them safe.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So all you haters out there right now that are just foaming at the mouth, well, you know, our kids are safe. So
my little guy, he quit Boy Scouts because they weren't exciting enough.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, when you're learning how to tie your scarf compared to gutting a deer, there's a big difference.
Yeah,
big difference.
And he's like, Dad, they won't even let us have our knives.
They won't even, really? They're not allowed to pack like a knife?
No, I don't think so.
Wasn't that a deal? Like, I think I was like a cub or something, or a boy or whatever it was, for like a heartbeat.
35 years ago.
It was a while back. Maybe that far. But yeah, I mean, that was part of, you know, kind of something that we had. Mm-hmm. So I didn't realize they had to take him away.
Times have changed.
I mean, yeah, that's the world we live in.
Yeah, he hated it. They all went ice fishing one time.
Yeah.
And they didn't bring any bait. It's like, Dad, they didn't even bring bait. They made us sit there and fish all day with no bait.
Did anybody catch anything?
No.
No, yeah. It was just an exercise in getting a hook wet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wouldn't let them light a fire. And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was the that was this deal sealer there for, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, mine.
I'm out.
Yeah, neither of my kids would last very long with that. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, getting back to the whole internet thing. I mean, what we were talking about was those memories and taking our pictures and what how important they are to us. And they are a part of our, you know, they're a part of our trophies, you mm-hmm. know, and that's really important. So just for, you know, the people that are out there that are going to go and take pictures, just keep in mind if you're going to be sprinkling them everywhere. And the other thing now is video. I mean, oh, my God. I mean, the video is just horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I was taking a look at a couple of Facebook feeds as we were, you know, kind of sitting here and just sitting here. I was seeing some really stupid shit, mm-hmm. you know, like the guy driving around with the doe with, you know, blood coming out of the end of her face or nose or whatever, and she's tied to the back of a car. Like, God, like, you know, I don't, even as a hunter, I don't like to see that, yeah. you know? So, you know, use your heads a little bit. And definitely this video thing. I mean, every phone now can take videos, not necessarily, you know, fabulous, but, you know, good enough, mm-hmm. you know, good enough to showcase some pretty stupid shit. So, and really a lot of what's happened, you know, I mean, we're still waiting to see here. You know, I've got a really important meeting here at the beginning of next week with the Wildlife Stewardship Council. And you know, we're obviously going to discuss grizzly bears and what's going to happen here in the province. You know, everybody's kind of, a lot of people are holding their breath. It doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on to exactly what this new ruling is going to look like. But let's face it. Let's face it. The internet is what really helped kind of, you know, seal this deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with some of the shit that can be brought up. And then not only that, but just some of the false propaganda bullshit that was able to be placed in front of people. Mm-hmm. Like there was, I actually seen a post where it was something about a sow and now her yearling cubs were going to have to try and figure out life now that their mother's been shot by a trophy hunter. I mean, that's a bunch of bullshit, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe something did happen and maybe she was shot. I'd be surprised if that was the case, and definitely by any type of hunter. But anyway, it's, you know, I think the internet definitely, it's a great tool. It's an amazing thing. I got to admit, I'm not going to say I'm addicted, but it's definitely a part of my life. And when it comes to business and all that, it's important. And, you know, it's,
well, there's no way around it this day and age.
No, it's there. It's there forever. So you can just open that right in front of the mic. You can just do it right there. You can just open it right up. It's okay. We're of legal drinking age. Just like that. That's the sound of 1,000 angels getting their wings. And somewhere right now, I got some preacher hating on me. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess, you know, if you got haters, you know you're making it somewhere.
That's right.
So, you know, I do remember the first few, and I was kind of giggly. Going, wow. You know, wow, I made it. I got a hater. You know, it was like a little stepping stone. Now it's a little bit duller, you know. It's not as much fun. So, but anyway, yeah, I mean, here's kind of the lesson, folks. You know, if you're out there, I mean, it's a little bit late for this year. Realize we're touching base at the end of it, and it's because we've been busy all fall, you know, grinding her through right to the bitter end. Mm-hmm. We're going to, you know, what is whitetail season now? What is it, like 2 days?
Oh, no. So, end of the month.
End of, yeah.
End of November.
Okay, and what is today?
23rd.
Okay, so there's a week, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But only 2 days for us.
Yeah, because we both get real busy.
Yeah.
So, you know. But it's, you know, we do this, you know, when the season's there, we're out there and we're busy. And so although we're bringing this to you now, you know, at the end of the season, we're like, hey, guys, don't take really shitty pictures.
You know what?
Really fucked up video. Yeah.
They can just listen to it in September next year.
Oh, yeah. That was a mind blow. That's awesome.
So I'm here.
Time machine shit. So, yeah. Absolutely. You know, just think about it a little bit, folks. And when you're going to throw something up there for, you know, for the general public. So that's right. That's something to keep in mind. And even if, you know, you're young and you're dumb and you're stupid and you do stupid shit, just keep in mind that when it comes to the internet, they don't care about that. It's out there. When you stick it there, it's probably going to be there forever, you know. And so, you know, it even if you do it and 5 years later you're like, wow, that was some really stupid shit, it's out there, So don't forget that.
Keep it tasteful.
Yeah.
Remember, once you pull that hide and the head off, you'll never get a chance to take a nice picture of it.
That's right.
I've got lots of. I wish I could go back and take a nice picture of a few bucks that I've shot, you know, that I just brought home and skinned, and it's like, oh, crap, I forgot to take a picture, you know?
It's just not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You only get to do that once.
Right? That's right.
When you shoot that buck.
Yeah.
So.
And that moment is a special moment.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, that's and with all the kind of the bad stuff, there's a lot of great stuff. There's a lot of really good information. It's never been easier to get some really, really positive stuff, to get some really good information, to reach out and talk to folks and be on farms and listen to us. Yeah. But just think, without the internet, they couldn't listen to us.
I got a quick picture story.
Okay.
So that one big muley there above you.
Okay.
I shot that a long time ago, back before cell phones and, well, there was cell phones, but before you could take good pictures.
So I had to like take a chisel and just, you know, chisel out a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, we had disposable cameras, right?
Right.
Where you roll the little thing and click, roll. So I'd taken a bunch of pictures with that disposable camera, but I left it in my jacket beside the furnace.
Yeah.
In my wood stove in my old house.
Yeah.
And it melted that disposable camera.
Really? In your pocket?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So that's what happened to the pictures.
I imagine, you know what, I think that there are so many people, you know, pre-time when using your phone. I mean, I imagine there's just 1,000 of those stories, 1,000 of them, you know, when you're using actual film and either things got wet or whatever the thing.
Yeah.
Even now, I mean, even if you do put them somewhere, you know, you throw them up on your laptop and then they go on a hard drive. And I mean, never before has it been so easy to keep those things forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a way simpler thing. But like I was saying, you know, as far as it goes to it being a spot where, you know, we can be heard as hunters, I think the internet is also an amazing tool, you know, for any new hunters that are out there. I'm not going to say that all the information out there is great information, but definitely there's a lot of really good stuff out there. And all you got to do is search around a little bit or listen to us, you know, just listen to us. We'll help you. So, and that said, you know, I'd like to kind of, you know, throw out there for anybody that is listening that might have a question or a comment. Well, no, if it's a comment, if it's a shitty comment, you can keep it. We don't need it. But if it's, well, no, even the shitty stuff's okay. Send the shitty stuff. We like shitty stuff too. But if you got any questions.
That's not an invitation to say shitty shit.
But, you know, if you've got questions or comments or something, you know, feel free to reach out to us. You can either hit us up on our Facebook page, you know, Between Two Racks, you know, or our on our website.
Yep.
And you can contact us there. And we definitely, any questions that come in, we'd answer them. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what the questions are, but, you know, we'd answer most of them anyway.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, so listen to us, get out there. Read some good shit when it comes to hunting on the internet. Listen to the good shit. Do some good shit. Spread some good shit. And, you know, think about what you do.
You betcha.
Think about what you post out there. So is that's our show, the internet show?
That's it.
Cool. All right. So until next time, stay hard.